Na-na-na-na. What up, Full Circle people? Season 4, episode 37 of Full Circle with Nick and Fred. I'm your host, Fred.
Your co-host, Nick.
Guys, casual ass show tonight. Nick was watching the NHL Stanley Cup Finals with yours truly. Game 2, Carolina versus New York. Guys, playoff hockey just slaps. That's all there is to it. I know we're not a sports show, but me and Nick are avid sports lovers. If you don't know that, then you don't know us, okay? And all I can say is I love seven-game series. I understand you can't do it in the NFL. I understand there's certain scenarios where you can't do it. But seven-game series, guys, there is no denier as to who the better team is.
Mm-hmm.
That, plain and simple. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So watching these games is just like that much more fun, you know?
Because like even if you lose, all right, you still got another day. It's still another game to go, right? Boom. It's not like, you know, watching the college basketball tournament, your team loses. You're like, no, and your team's done for the rest of the year.
March Madness and playoff football, it comes and makes those one plays, those one mistakes, that one exchange that much more important. So I see why people like it. Like that fumble, if you haven't fumbled all year and you fumble in a playoff game in football, that could change the whole outcome of the, I mean, it's monumental because you don't have three or four other games to make up for it.
Whole outcome of your career too.
Facts. But, and we've seen it, and there's a lot of examples. So,
yo, Fred, before we get in the show, what were you watching the game on? Were you watching Hulu or watching on?
Nick, I was not. Guys, my man is on one here, okay? Nick got me and Cass a wedding gift called the Super Box. Nick, do you want to tell him about it? You do.
I might have talked about it on the show before, guys. It's called the Super Box. It's basically a stream box, kind of like Amazon Fire Stick.
It's a jailbroken Amazon Fire Stick.
Kind of like that. Yeah, basically, you go buy it online. It's called the Super Box.
Looks like a motor.
It's like $170, right? You buy it, you plug it in your TV, you hook it up to the internet, and boom, right? You go. They have a little app store. You go on their app store, you download this thing called Blue TV. Every single channel you can think of is there.
Guys, every channel you can't think of is there. I was just telling Nick. So, guys, in my house, I don't do a lot of casual TV. I got the gaming set up in my office. I got three monitors in my office. If I'm watching stuff, it's usually in the office. But from time to time, I don't want to be in the fucking office. So I was telling Nick, I was like, you know, this thing is super sick. There's 24/7 channels, guys. This might be my favorite thing, and it makes it worth every penny. There's 24/7. You get access, first of all, to every, like, again, if you're a sports lover like me and Nick, you get all NHL channels, MLB, MLS, NFL, Red Zone, anything you can think of, any game you can think of, Bundesliga, Premier League soccer, everything, UFC, pay-per-view events,
yeah, dude,
all there.
I just want to make sure you guys know, guys, like, it's literally like, you know, you go on the internet and you stream everything for free. By the way, I haven't mentioned that. You buy the box, that one-time payment, $170, you never pay a dime again.
You never pay a dime again. As long as you hook, you basically are paying your internet bill, which you're paying anyway. So you don't have to pay for anything. And guys, I was like, Nick was like, just try it out. See if it works for you. And I got to tell you, like, my Hulu bill was $90 a month because I did the Hulu plus live sports, plus this, plus that, whatever, right? I want to be able to have Red Zone because I'm a big NFL fan and it's very difficult to get that without doing a major package. So I was paying $90 a month for Hulu, and Nick comes in. He's like, I got this device, happy wedding, merry wedding. And he hooked it up when he came down before the wedding. And guys, it's been immaculate. Like, I understand playoffs and stuff, it's on national television, a little bit easier accessibility. But I can't wait for the regular season next year when I can find my Canes and watch almost all the games. Like, that's just super sick. And I have decent internet connection. I have very good internet connection, in my opinion. And I haven't had a single issue. No delays, no buffering, nothing. It's like a higher level of that. It's like you're streaming online, but with better connectivity, a little bit more reliability. And some of the 24/7 channels, guys, I have to rant, are fucking immaculate. I watched 24/7 Scooby-Doo today. I don't think you heard me. 24/7 Scooby-Doo today. I am losing my shit. 24/7 Back to the Future. So it just plays all three movies on a loop 24/7. Fast and Furious franchise on a loop. Guys, I don't even know how to tell you how exciting this is. The only thing for me, and the only thing that I've had to adjust, is Hulu is it's a service. So I can watch games. Like, if I'm driving back from Raleigh on an hour drive, I can put Hulu on my phone, mount it in my car, and watch the game on the go. This box doesn't do. It's locked into your TV. Right. So you might have to buy multiple for multiple TVs in the house, honestly, but it's lit. It's lit. I stand by it.
I got a solution for you on that. Download iHeartRadio, find the local radio station that's like the Canes host, and just you can listen to that just anywhere
through,
you go.
Through the radio. Yeah,
that's what I do. And I'm should a big be able to. Guy.
I am still in local zone for the radio, so I think that I could probably just find the local station that covers it and play it in the car anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But I like the visual. I've always been the visual guy. I'm the guy who's going to drive off the road one day because I'm watching I'm watching the Cowboys, and I'm just like, you know, whatever. I will never kill somebody due to drunk driving, but I will kill somebody because Dallas scores in the playoff or something. Who knows? So.
But yeah, one final thing on this, like, you, it's awesome, right? Because, like, I've been trying to tell all my friends, you guys want to save money, buy this. And, like, when you first hear, I'm guessing people hearing this right now are like, okay, yeah, it's not a big deal. Fred, when you actually finally started, like, using it and everything, dope, right? Like,
guys, I mean, I don't know. This is one of those weird millennial Gen Z things. I remember like going to my grandparents' house as a kid and just watching cable, like whatever was on TV. Cyber Chase, the Scooby-Doo thing is like seriously like reminiscent for me. It, like really nostalgic. It's wild. Like just being at your grandparents' house and like flipping through channels, seeing what's on, watching Disney Channel, watching whatever was around. And like it gives that old TV feel, but with a lot more options. And
way
I just,
more options.
I mean, Nick's absolutely underselling it. I mean, if you're paying for cable, you're better off with this. It's not even comparable. I mean, like I said, the only thing in the modern age is that it sucks that it's not mobile, right? So if you're a traveler, if you drive a lot, but for $90 a month, $80 a month, Nick just saved me. I kept Hulu, ESPN, and Disney Plus bundle. It was like $15.99 as opposed to $89.99. So, you know what I mean? I'm saving $70 a month and I still get to watch everything I want to watch. So I just have to make sure I'm home for it. Big whoop. And I probably actually save me more money in the long run than trying to drive all over the place and go in. So whatever. But no, super cool find on Nick's part. Super sick. If you guys want information on it, hit it, either one of us up. I'll put you in touch with Nick or hit him up directly. But it's just a really, it really is solid. I mean, it's a little pricey, but it's two payments. It's two payments of your cable. It's two payments of your subscriptions. Like it's literally two payments and you're done. And it has movies. There's movies. There's other apps, guys. It is literally like a jailbroken Amazon stick and with way more stuff. So you get like access of local TV as well. I'm not going to be able to stop talking about this. We got to move on. So CBS West Coast, CBS East Coast. Like you can watch it wherever, which gives you more accessibility to whatever's in those areas. So just super cool thing called the Superbox. Again, I don't know, Nick, Google? Amazon.
Super if you're really interested, hit up the show, Instagram, we'll respond.
Respond. But it's neat. And if you're really looking to save money, guys, no bullshit. If you're like new homeowner, whatever, this is your energy right here. Nick, we got to adjust the elephant. Your boy is boot up. Your boy has got the circle of trust.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You're married?
Yeah. It's weird.
God. Yeah. Actually, I was just thinking about this the other day. It's like, it's wild. Like, wow, Fred's married. Like, obviously, you guys have been living together and everything for a while now.
Seriously.
Been together for a while. But it's just a little different when you got that official title. Like, boom, married. Boom.
It's worse when you see it. She changed her Facebook name. She changed her Instagram. It's now Cassie Hool everywhere. I'm like, this is weird.
Do I got to change her name on my phone? I should do that, right?
You can't. I mean, I don't fucking know. It's just Cassie.
I feel like I don't know if Cassie, I don't think she listens, right? Let her know live on show. I change it to Cassie Hool for her.
That's fine. I definitely will. The biggest thing, and you know, our boy CJ, we have a mutual friend, CJ, my cousin's husband. We were joking. So he came to visit while it was a wedding out in the Outer Banks. He stayed with my family for a while. And we were sitting and we were talking about like the commonalities. Like I was talking about, you know, I've talked about on the show before how stressful everything was leading up to the moment. And then you have your day, which is also stupid stressful. And then you just kind of like, it's just gone. Like, even though you still have shit to do, paperwork to fill out, whatever, like, Cass has to do a name change. There isn't much more we really have to do, but, the, like, you know, clean out boxes, bring stuff back. It's just done. It's done. There's no more talk about it. It's no more scrambling of who's coming and how much was this and how much. It's just done. And it was fun, man. It was one of the best weeks of my life. Like, I'm not even downplaying it. I had so much fun. I got to see. The cool thing about weddings, bro, is, like, you get to – it's your people. It's your people. It's everybody you want there. I mean, you wish you could have more. You always wish you could have more. But I had such a great group. I've had people that have supported me my whole life. It's just, it was fun. The venue, even though we had some political stuff here and there and ran into red tape on certain things, to my knowledge, I mean, this is why I wanted to talk about it. Everything went smooth as far as I could tell, which is their job, is to make sure I don't know that something's going wrong. Cass doesn't make sure, you know, make sure Cass doesn't know something's going wrong. And we had fun. I want to kind of dive into that a little bit, Nick. Are you good to get into that?
Yeah, dude. So me and Brad tried our best not to, you know, explain everything so you could, you know, this is your big day.
There was a lot of cool things I want to dive into. So this is going to be a pretty heavy wedding episode, guys, in advance. But they came on and said it, and I didn't want it to seem selfish, guys, but the wedding party, everybody knows this, is always like committed to other shit. So me and Cass took a ton of photos. She ended up opting into filmography, I think is the right, I don't know what but we have like a camera guy. So like he follows That's around cool. the photo crew, and he's going to put a video together and everything. His name was Chris, wicked cool dude.
He was,
wicked cool dude. Glorious mustache.
He did my little pocket square.
Yeah, he was a cool dude. But like, you know, we left in the middle of the wedding, left in the middle of the wedding to take pictures. The whole beginning of the wedding during the cocktail hour, it was pictures. It was just, we weren't even really there for a good majority of the beginning of it. So I really wanted the perception of a guest, and I got to hear, you know, Greenwood talk about that. And that was really exciting. I want to call him out on a couple things. First of all, Brad Johnson, guys, is a scared baby boy. He's the biggest scared baby boy I've ever seen in my life.
He is. He's it.
There's really not much to get into it. I mean, this is my diss track for Greenwood, dude. This kid is scaredy baby boy, and we're calling this episode Casper because he's a little ghost, he's a little baby scared boy.
Oh my god, dude! I gotta make sure he listens to this.
Nah, dude, I do love the kid. I am so glad he showed up, but he's a scared baby boy, guys. During the whole episode, they had a whole episode talking about this. Not once did Greenwood was like, oh, I got pulled in a couple times. Greenwood was like one of those edgers, bro. He was an edger. You know how you like have a circle of people, like somebody's dancing in the middle, which happened to be me because my shirt was coming off, I was getting rowdy. Then you have a circle around me, and there's two people that stand out to me the absolute most. One is Greenwood, okay? The other, big supporter of the show, I think he's been on, I will call him out, Ryan. Ryan is an edger. These motherfudgers don't want to dance, but they want to partake in the party. So they're off on the side. They're getting involved, but they don't. They want to look composed. They want to look, you know, just mature. Fuck that. It's my wedding. We're getting rowdy. I told them to unbutton his shirt. Didn't know it was a rental, by the way. Sorry about that, Greenwood. But you're scared, baby boy. Put that rental on the side. Get your damn shirt off and get over here. Not me.
So as I said, dude, as you saw, I drank way too much. And I don't remember a whole lot, right? Remember many times going over to Ryan and dragging him in by his tie,
which was hilarious.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Guys, first of all, I was stone cold sober. I was stone cold sober. Megan gave me great advice, guys. Shout out Megan. She's been on the show. I'll get her again. My girl Megan, okay? She said, Fred, I'm not playing with you. She looked me in my eyes like numerous times. Do not get fucked up. She goes, I got drunk during my wedding. I don't remember the back half of it. Biggest regret I ever had. I'm like, it's tough to see because I still drink it at Megan's wedding, but I remember, I have videos. I remember all of it. So like as an outsider, you're like, ah, oh, come on. It can't be that bad. But when you're in the moment, like Nick did get plastered. I will say he did box out. They talked about that. He boxed out the whole wedding part, like the whole wedding. Dude. He was just throwing his ass around. It was crazy. Okay. Nick had a blast. I love to see Nick having a blast, but Nick did come up and he was like, do you want something to drink? He did this like all night long. I'm like, Nick, just get me water. And he did. He's fucking OG.
I don't remember that.
Got me a bunch of waters. Guys, no bullshit. I'm not exaggerating. Again, I'm doing my best to not be selfish. I'm just being real. I did not leave the dance floor from the minute the very first songs were me and my mother. No, it was Cass and my dad and her uncle and her dad, I think. Not sure. I think her dad. I don't know. I can't remember. Then me and my mom. Then Cass came on the floor, and then they played our first song, and then they went right into like all of our DJ requests. I did not leave the dance floor from start to finish. I did not leave the dance floor.
Dude, that's
so
awesome.
I was exhausted. I was beyond tired. I was sweating bullets. I mean, everyone's like, my cousins kept making jokes. Oh, we're going to, you know, 5 minutes in, he's going to take his shirt off. Everybody placing bets on me taking my shirt off. I couldn't breathe, dude. I was hot. I couldn't breathe. I barely had anything to eat. I was depleted, and Nick was like, can I get you a beer? I'd love to have a beer, Nick. I need water. I'm gonna pass the fuck out. And he just kept, I think I downed like 7 glasses of water, like in full, like I dance, go over, slug the water, go back, and I did that like 7 times over. But I gotta give you credit, Nick. You were my main guy. You kept bringing me water, and that fucking saved me, man.
Holy shit. Go back to Megan's point real quick. I got to say, even though it wasn't my wedding, I do regret getting as drunk as I did. I still had a blast, but I don't remember everything.
I don't know. You might not remember it, but it was fun. Everybody had fun. Because we had a group that was rowdy. It's not like you were making it worse for everybody or anything like that. You didn't knock down the tone. It was just funny, guys. Nick is a very quiet, composed person. So when you see him lose his shit, I was so excited to hear about his bar tab. I was so excited to hear about his fucking box house. He was just fucked up. Oh, and that story about him walking in on Cass's aunt in her room and just like chilling in the shower. Goated. Like Nick made the show, dude. Nick made the show. He's the main character.
I will say, when I woke up, my biggest concern, I'm happy I didn't. I was like, I hope I didn't like ruin it, like bring down the time. You know, happens sometimes you get too drunk, you get a little too drunk, you do whatever. Happy that didn't happen. Happy you had a great time. That's what it's all about. But I had a blast.
Nah, dude, it was super sick. I had an absolute blast. I am so dumb excited. Some of the photos, Nick, again, I'm just going to keep repeating this all night because I can't help myself. I don't mean it selfishly at all, guys. Some of the photos that we took and some of the goofy shit that just like genuinely came out of it was so sick. I'm obsessed with that. I call it the mafia photo, where I'm just got my arms crossed and the boys around me. Like,
dude,
that
photo
was sick.
Dope.
That
dude,
was
like,
sick. But
dope.
Even, I don't know if you saw this one. And guys, I know you can't see it on the audience, but like I made it my screensaver. This one here. Oh, hang on. This
that
one here, Nick.
Right there.
With my. Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, I seen that one. Because I remember when we took all those photos. I was there for that.
Yeah, like just the hand up and just the glasses on inside. Just vibing. And my shirt wasn't untucked. And I wasn't looking like a great, crazy person. And it just came out great. And the wedding party stuff was sick. The video, I don't know. I'm super excited about it.
I want to ask you, at what moment in the wedding did you finally feel the weight lift off your shoulders of like, you know, more stress over the wedding stuff?
The wedding stuff, I know it sounds really dumb. I don't do well with, I've said this before and people are caught off guard by it, whatever. I'm not a public speaker. The whole process of like being at the altar and like saying your I do's, we had to do the vows, which did not go the way that I thought it was going to go.
Cried when you walked down the aisle.
I lost my shit, dude.
I'm gonna be honest. So I didn't have a great view. Obviously, I'm in a little view, but that was so cool to see you be like so.
That was tough. It was tough for me because I've been talking.
Everyone there loved it in the best way.
I don't get emotional in front of people. It's not my thing. I don't like doing it. It's this weird internal thing I can't handle myself of weakness. Like I just don't want people to see me weak. And Cass's song starts playing and she's coming out. Like I thought when she came out, like I was going to be able to see her, but they cocked the chairs. They did it on purpose. They cocked the chairs away where I couldn't see her. So she comes around that final chair and I saw her in her dress. Oh my God,
dude.
Bro. And you know what's funny is I don't care how serious you are as a person, dude. I told her for months, I'm like, I'll bring hot sauce to make me cry. Like, I'm not going to cry. She came out and just like, I don't know if it was, I don't know. I can't explain it, but the full emotion was just there. And it was just like, it's a whole moment of like, it's you. I don't mean it at its simplest value, but like, she's mine. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean it possessively, but like, spend the rest of my life with somebody I love. Like, it's overwhelming. It's not just that she looks absolutely stunning. It's on top of that, it's the fact that you get to spend the rest of your life with your best friend. And they're like, it's an appreciation of like the vastness of the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like she's going out of her way to join your family. You're going out of your way to join her family, or she's going out of her way to join my family. I'm going out of my way to join hers. Our lives are forever intertwined. It all culminates in that moment. And the other thing is like, you try to so she comes out, I lose it a little bit. And then I'm like, I'm okay. Like I gathered it back. You know me, I'm comic relief. So I make some comments. I was really well mic'd up. That was the other thing. Audio guy, phenomenal. Double mic'd up. Everybody could hear everything. I'm just like joking. I'm like trying to bring it back. And then we get there and then we had to read our vows and I lost it again. Like having to talk about like, you know, just the intimate moments and like how we got where we are. It's just, oh, dude, it was tough. But what made it for me, Nick, and I heard about this. I can't wait to see it on the videos. I can't wait to see photos. I heard my brother lost it.
Dude, I couldn't see it, obviously, but I heard.
He's behind me. I didn't see nothing, but I was told by multiple people that my brother, my little brother Joe, lost his shit. Dude. Like, he was blubbering. And
that's awesome,
I am though. Like, that's cool because Joey's the same way I do. It's very rare that I see that kid get, like, sad emotion. I've seen Joey get frustrated. You know, me and Joey get sports. We get like, but you never see somebody get like soft. You know what I'm saying? And like to see Joey have a moment of softness was just cool, man. It was so, I didn't see it. I can't wait to see it back on the videos and everything. It's going to be sweet. But yeah, just overall amazing experience. I thought Cass did a phenomenal job with the planning, like the pink goblets, the energy, the all the decor was all her. Everything, like I gave her so much shit for the longest time about color palettes and this and that. It was beautiful. It was so much fun. And then I was like, it's going to be so late. We all got out of there. It's hella late, like 11:30. And I'm like, we ain't doing no fucking after party. You know what I'm saying? But everybody showed up to the house. So Cass is gone. She's done. She's exhausted. She didn't have her water. She wasn't keeping up with her water. And she goes to bed and I stayed up with the boys and we just hung out.
See, that's the part. I got so drunk. I don't remember a single thing.
But see,
I heard I went to sleep.
You did. You passed out downstairs.
Good.
And Greenwood was an OG. He was like, leave Nick alone. I'm like, fuck that. That's my boy. I'm so proud of him for forgetting. Like, we haven't been fucked up since college. Not like crazy. And who the hell threw up on me from the bunk bed, by the way? Was that you or Shay? It was me and Shay. Okay,
I thought you meant from that day. And I was like, whoa. Oh, yeah. I'm the one who threw up.
Yeah. So here's what happened. I've seen Nick get fucked up, guys, but it's very rare. It's very rare and few and far between.
I try not to, but yes. Yeah. But no, we don't need to get in that soul. Yeah. Yes, that was me. The chunks fell down on you. Yes.
But yeah. Yes. But yeah, it was a blast. And yes, you were a little fucked up. And I ended up having like intimate moments with a lot of people. I don't usually like, I got to see Josh, which was cool. Me and Josh ran close a long time. Ryan, who I gave shit about just a second ago, he's up in Boston. I don't see him a lot. We were down on the beach just talking, watching this. It was like a red moon. It was just, the weather was immaculate, guys. I cannot emphasize enough how crazy perfect everything went, and it was just awesome. And there's no better feeling in life. Like, I'm still that guy. I care about everybody else. I will always be that guy. And to hear everybody be like, we had a good time, this was so much fun, it was iconic. Like, it's just to be able to have a blast yourself, but also everybody else feels that same energy, was just awesome. I did a Dirty Dancing flyover with my cousin. Like, it was.
I saw the video of that. Also, back to that, I saw you deleted it. Was there a big Congo line or something?
I did. Yes. So I actually took the mic. I was so like in my zone, Nick, in the middle of the wedding. Okay, one of the what they put on Danza Kuduro. I started a Congo line. Okay. We had, I swear to God, I think maybe 7 people of the 130, 140 there did not do it. Only everyone, I don't know what that percentage is. It was ridiculous. Okay.
I feel like I kind of remember this, but like, you know.
Yeah, it was absolutely nuts. Yeah, it was absolutely nuts. So it was just, so I go over, I'm like, can I borrow the mic? And the DJ was chill. He brings down the song, which everyone's like, what the fuck? And I go, guys, I just want to thank you for the most unofficial, best conga line of all time. And I dropped the mic and I walked back out on the dance floor. But it was sick. It was literally, I think literally, I don't know what that percentage is. 5, I think literally 7 people out of the 137, whatever, did not do it. We went between all the tables. Everybody was, it was crazy. It was crazy. So, but
that's,
yeah.
Awesome.
I know I'm monologuing. I told Nick I didn't want to.
No, it's fine.
Doing the best I can.
We want to hear about it. I mean, I also really want to hear about this next part, because me and Brendan didn't talk about it. I want to let you talk about it.
Which bullet point do you want to jump on? Because I have a few here.
So I see there's a couple. I want to talk about this one. There's a weird case of a phone.
Oh, like, yeah.
Getting stuck.
Yeah, this was weird. So I had Cass and the ladies. We had mixed genders on both sides. So Cass and Cass's wedding party. Got ready on. So there's a 3-story house that Jess rented. Props to Jess. If this ever gets in your ear waves, I cannot thank that woman enough. It's Cass's sister, my sister-in-law, which is also weird to say, by the way. I'm still getting used to the whole thing with sister-in-law. Wow, it's just crazy. So yeah, I got my sister-in-law rented a house, and it was a 3-story fucking palace on the beach. It was a palace. It was massive. I mean, you and Brendan really hit it on the head. You guys were talking about it. It was just like, you guys were like, this is a massive house. It was easily a $10 million home. I mean, it was ridiculous. Wow. And it's never something I could afford, but it was cool. Had a great time. And so we decided earlier in the week, pretty close to the wedding date, that the ladies or Cass's wedding party would get set up upstairs. I can't see the bride. And I didn't stay with her the night before, even though we lived together, which that's also a weird thing no one talks about. But we'll get into that.
You actually did do that? You didn't stay in the same
bed?
We did.
Again, Megan was like, are you really going to? I'm like, you know. Yeah, and they were like, you can't do that. It's bad luck. I was like, all right, whatever. So
you didn't do it, right?
Yeah, I slept in a fucking bunk bed in one of the other rooms, and that was good. There was no mattress. It was a bad – oh, I hurt. It was – yeah. The things I do for love. You know what I mean? Hey-o. So it is what it is. But, so she gets ready upstairs. I get ready in the middle floor. We're wrapping up the day, right? We're getting – at this point, it's like the wedding's at 4:30. This is getting around like – I want to say, Nick, around like 2 o'clock, because this was when you were there. This happened while you were there, correct? I don't know the exact timeline on this.
No, Fred. The phone fell in the night before.
Oh, that's right. No, you're absolutely right. You're right. Yeah. It happened on Saturday night when we were all hanging out at the house. That's right, because we did that two nights in a row. Saturday night, we're all hanging at the house. You're absolutely right. And somebody, I don't know. I still don't know the full story on this, to be completely honest with you.
I kind of know the story. What I'm hearing is Hunter took Cass's phone, right? And there was a big, tall fireplace, like 8 feet tall. The ceilings were like 10 feet tall.
At least.
I think like him and little Zach, they had the idea. It's like, you know, let's like put the phone up here, take a picture of everyone. Cass would love it. You know, a whole photo of everyone, a kind of cool picture. So they went to go, he went to go place the phone up top on the fireplace. Little did he know, for some bizarre reason, the top of this fireplace was wide open. There's no
outside of the molding. So you have the molding and you think there'd be like a 3-inch shelf there, and there wasn't. It was hollowed out.
So he dropped he put the phone up there, dropped it, and it was happened to be right across the column, and it fell all the way 8 feet down to the floor. And it was stuck there for like a day and a half. And then I don't even know how it got out.
It was. So I'm still hearing, like, so I was brought to me by Josh, actually told me, he was like, look, like, Zach was being really weird. He's like, I need to talk to you or whatever. He pulled me aside and he's like, Cass's phone is in the wall. And of course you're like, what the fuck does that even mean? And he's like, there's a hole in the fireplace and it somehow went down in there. We got to get a way to find a way to get it out. And Cass didn't know. So Josh was like, I don't know what the hell happened, Zach. I was told it was Zach. So whatever, I gotta clarify that later on.
Sure, it was one of them, dude.
Yeah, the two of them, it doesn't really matter. I mean, no offense, I don't mean any type of way, but like, you shouldn't be fucking with a bride's phone anytime during this point anyway. Like, yeah. I don't care if it was supposed to be funny or wasn't. It was just not a good idea. Play dumb games, win dumb prizes. I don't care who it was. So you guys fucking being dumb. So, and I've told them both this to their face. It's not like I'm saying this behind their back. I've told them, I didn't know Hunter was involved. I'll be sure to call him out next time. But I told Little Zach, I was told it was Little Zach and Big Zach. And I told them, both, okay, like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't really care. But they're like, yeah, just don't tell Cass. We don't want to stress her out. Like, no shit. She's got a million other things. It's the night before the wedding. And then no sooner than 3 minutes, Nick, I could not make this up. I go upstairs and because I want to see what Josh is talking about. Cass is up there and she's like, did you text me? I'm like, no, I haven't texted you at all recently. Like, no big deal, whatever. And she beeps her phone with her smartwatch and it echoes from the fucking wall. And she's like, what is that? I'm like, it doesn't matter. We'll get it later. Like, I'm trying to keep her mind off of it. Obviously, that's not going to fucking work. She dings it again. She thinks it's in that. So it was near the fireplace, is centered. And then you have your, like, you know, your displays and your fucking board game shit. So it was in near the board games. There's this like little cupboard. So she thought they were fucking with them and put it in the cupboard or something. And she went to go look for it. And I was like, it's not in there. It's like in the fireplace. And then that she kind of got an idea of what was going on. And she was frustrated, but like didn't care. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't. We had bigger fish to fry. Dude,
she handled it so well. I have to give her credit. That was like, she was like, she obviously, you know, she's not like, oh, I don't care. But like, I got to give her mad props for how she just coolly handled it. And was like, I got much bigger stuff to worry about. I'll get it eventually. So
that's not really like her. So it was cool to see that too. You know what I'm saying? It was cool to see that like she didn't let it get in the way. It was wild. But yeah, so then the resolve of this, and this goes on all night. They use PVC pipe, tape, Gorilla Glue. They went to Lowe's. I mean, people got clippers, pliers. I mean, everything they could think of.
They tried measuring tape.
But it's 10 feet down. You're not going to – it wasn't going to get got, okay? So the other thing is like, even if we do get it back, is it going to be smashed to shit? Like, we don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it was just – we didn't know.
Yeah.
So we all go to bed. It doesn't matter. It's like stupid late at this point. We all go to bed, whatever. Next day, my parents show up. Like, there's other people coming in and out. One of her wedding party is a kid named James that we had on the show. He's cool as hell. He wanted to try to get it out. Hunter's a man's man. He wanted to try to get it out. And then, like, at this point, they're talking about like taking apart the boards on the wall on a rental property that's worth million. Like, so now Jess is freaking out. Like, you're not going to just start putting holes in the walls. You're not going to take anything down, whatever. So it was just crazy, the whole sequence. It was weird. What ended up happening was, so the next day she's getting ready. This is where I got it overlapped, and I'm sorry. The next day she's getting ready. You know what I'm saying? She's getting ready. My parents come over for a little bit. They find out what's going on. My dad ended up taking off the bottom panel square. I don't know if he pried it out or exactly what happened, but he took off the panel square and then they put it back up, re-caulked it. You would have no idea it was even touched. But her phone screen looked like it was cracked to shit. It was just the protector. The protector did its job. So her phone's fine. She just she needed a new case and a new protector. But yeah. And then I guess like mom yelled at James, because James was like, let's just go bust in the wall. And Jess was borderline like done. Cass was in the middle of her hair. My mom was like, just shut up. She even said that. She's like, I kind of went off on James a little bit. Like, now's not the time to shut up. And it was just like, that was the highlight of the whole thing. And then Cass, I guess I talked to her about it later on. She's like, I just wanted people to shut the fuck up about it. Like, stop bringing it up. Because I think we all worried about it more than she did. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. She was so, just like, I have my wedding to worry about. Yeah, I can worry about this later. Yeah,
we can worry about it. We were there all week. And that was my point, too. I'm like, we'll get it by Wednesday, Thursday. We got all week. We can hire somebody. Like, we got time. It's, the way we did it, it's not like we have to be out tomorrow. So, crazy little situation there. Just wild. But I want to go over some of the other stuff that we guys I know is taking up a majority of the show. So, I want to react also. I want to come back, Nick, to also my Canes just lost. So, I'm like,
I'm trying,
it hurts. I want to just kind of come back to you and Greenwood's conversation. So one of the things that you both talked about that I want to get on this, I really enjoyed this discussion, was going to weddings where you don't know anybody. Yes. So you said that whose wedding was it? Was it Brian's, Casey's? Casey didn't get married yet. Whose wedding did you go to that you said you didn't know a lot of people, but you had a good time?
One of my friends from college.
Oh, okay. I knew enough people.
Yeah. As a Brian, you know.
Listen,
yeah.
Here's the key, guys. And I don't mean it in a weird way. You can still go, even if it's not. This is my thing. All you got to know is one. You just have to have one person that you know, and then they're going to introduce you to their friends. You have to be open. But as long as you know one person, you're good. If you don't know absolutely anybody, it could be, I can understand the concern or maybe like the scared baby boy bullshit. But other than that, if you know at least one person, you're fine. And Greenwood knew multiple people.
That's why
in the beginning of this episode, I went absolutely off on him. I did. Because I was like, why are you being a scared baby boy? You can say whatever you want. I have one of the most open friend groups, open families. Like Nick's seen it.
Like, dude,
nobody in my family is like, who the fuck is that guy?
No, you heard me talk, right? Literally, yeah. At the airport waiting, I had a lunch with some of your family members, yeah. And your Uncle Doug, we had dinner. That was awesome.
Yeah, my family is super fucking chill. I love my family to death. And it's just like, you know, it's just funny for him to be like, I had to rent a suit. I had to make an appearance, you know, all this crap about how he's all nervous. I'm like, what are you fucking, like, I'm like, no, it's chill. It's chill energy. That's what we do, you know? So, I don't know. It's just, I wanted to speak on that. That's my rule. If you're allowed a plus one, take one. If you're going to a wedding where you don't know a lot of people, and even if you just know like two or three, one is the minimum. Here's the thing. You're going to be fine.
I agree with you. As long as you know one person, like the wedding I was talking about, I was still fine. I knew like four people there pretty good. I wasn't that worried. And there are a couple of people I knew, whatever, but.
There's an important part of how much you know the wedding party. The groom and the bride.
Yes.
So I will use my friend Kayla as an example. She had her wedding I flew up to Connecticut for. I've known Kayla my whole life. We have a lot of mutual friends, but as we grew older,
yeah.
You know, I don't see her as much. I'm not as involved in her friend circle. I knew a decent amount of people there. My friend Alyssa was there. Her parents were there. But like there was a lot of people I didn't really know. But I had all the faith in the world in Kayla that even if Alyssa didn't go or I didn't know some of the people, they also, you got a faith, if you know them well enough, they're going to put you at a table where they feel that you're going to blend in with the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why people stress out about seating charts is because who can we put you with? Cass had a couple friends out there that she knew just from work. You know, some people I haven't even met, believe it or not, that I haven't even met. There was a couple of people from the wedding I didn't even know. But when we walked around the tables and I thanked them, they had a great time. People, they exchanged information. Like Carl, the one who made the painting that we've had on the show, she made friends with one of Cass's people and said, hey, thanks for putting her at our table. She was awesome. I was like, I don't even know her. Like, sounds great. But you got to have faith in the people that are setting the shit up as well. If that makes sense. If you don't know the groom and the bride and they don't know you, then they're not going to know who to put you with. They're not going to.
Well, then
you know,
they're not going
to
even invite you. Yeah. There.
You would think. Some people just do invite a lot of people.
Did you guys already read the little card things?
Yes.
So did you read mine?
Did you not sign yours? Is yours the one of the single, like goodbye single life?
NS. No, no, I did too.
Oh, I got to look.
What cards?
We had like 100 cards.
Wedding cards. No, I didn't get you guys. I'm not gonna lie. Oh. I didn't guys get you cards. I'm talking about the little like things you put in. It was like, oh, where this. You must not looked at those yet.
No, we didn't look at those yet. I don't think.
Okay, because I wrote a serious one and then I wrote a funny one.
What was it, like suggestions on life or something?
Yeah, it was whatever. So one of them I did kind of seriously, and the other one I was like,
I wonder who got that because I haven't seen that and it's been over a week. I haven't seen that at all. So
I wanted you to see my funny one. That's
I didn't know half the shit Cass did. I will say, like, she did a bench. So,
oh, yeah.
Like,
I
thought that was sick.
It was cool. I did sign it.
I didn't know she did that. So it's in the garage. We're going to put a clear coat on it, and then we're going to set it up at the house. But Cass did the guest book as a bench, guys, that you sign. And then we have it on the house. So you can sit on. Everyone's signature is going to be there. It's going to be sick. Like, I'm super excited about that.
That was cool.
But, Yeah, it was just super cool. And I just, you know, like I said, I wrote a couple notes down while listening to you and Greenwood's episode. And that was one of them. He was like, I don't know, weddings with not knowing people is tough. And I was like, I just don't know if I agree with that. I've been to weddings where I don't know a few people. And you just got to have faith. And you have to be a social person. You have to be an open person. If you're not social, it's a social event. You're not going to have a good time. I'm sorry.
It's tough though if you're not a big social person. Honestly, though, I gotta say this.
The liquor helps.
If you're just not like a social person, then get a plus one or just like,
that's what I'm saying.
Maybe don't go if you don't know if the person. If you only know one person there,
you can still be nice about not going. You can still send a card or make a post on social media. You can do. People are gonna understand, especially if you are an introvert. Like Cass had a lot of family members that didn't really get too involved. You know what I mean? And that's fine. You know, they made an appearance. Some of them showed up and then left before even the party happened. Like the what is that, reception?
Yeah.
You know, they showed up for the ceremony and then kind of dipped. And that's fine by me.
There.
A couple of our coworkers and stuff, you know, like it is what it is. But it was good to see them. I'm glad they came out. You know, it meant something to both of us. So I don't know. That was just an interesting take. Nick, want to bounce around a little bit? Again, crazy episode this week. The brew through. Nick. Tell the people about your experience. Did it live up to the hype that I set for you? Tell people what happened.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you my experience, and I'll tell you our friend Tyler's experience, because I talked to him about it.
Okay. This is cool. I like that.
My experience. I loved it. I thought it was cool. I mean, obviously a little tourist thing, but you just like a brew through. You drive your car in, and you drive into like a fucking beer freezer.
I told everybody on the show before, it's a garage. It's a garage with coolers. That's it.
It's very cool, because like you're just driving through, and instead of having to get out of your car, you just stay in your car, like, and then you get your beer. Maybe it's a level price, whatever. It's just cool. It's a cool thing to do.
Merch everywhere, whatever. Yeah. You can rack up a hefty tab because it's not cheap. Like, sunglasses, $10. You get two of those, it's $20. The shirts are $20 to $30 a pop. You know what I mean? It adds up, you know? But I think it's, like, it's really cool, the experience. I've never seen them anywhere other than the Outer Banks. It's, like, part of the culture. And I don't know. I remember talking a lot about it on the show. I love them. You know, I always end up dropping a shit ton of money.
I thought it was really cool. It's a cool little thing to do while you're down there. And then they have a giant selection.
Yeah. And they update it. They have like an event. So like one of their designs is like changes every year. So the golf cart design, it has the date and the place on there. And that changes every season. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Did not know that. Learned that this time around.
And then you got a friend, Tyler, the old pessimist.
Was Tyler whines a lot, not liking it? I won't be offended. He was just like, I'm just going to give him shit about it. That's fair.
He didn't see the big deal about it. He's like, I thought it was slower than going into the package store. So basically, you got to appreciate the experience. I know Fred's a big experience guy. I appreciate the experience. You need to appreciate the experience.
I'm not knocking it. Now, the other thing is, guys, I got to keep in mind, you got to give Nick props. He's over here. He's gassing me up on my favorite thing. He's gassing me up. He got a beer. He hated it.
I did try to tell him.
I warned him when he purchased it. There's a Cheerwine ale. You know my obsession with Cheerwine. You know Nick's obsession with Cheerwine. I said, Nick, it's not the same as the soda. It's not the same as the soda. Well, you know what it was. And it was terrible.
Well, here's the thing. It was an ale. It's my fault, right? The beer is not good. I gotta take some of the blame. It's an ale. I don't really like ales in general. So why am I going to like an ale now and a few of the Cheerwine? I just had to try it because I did. And then I funnily tried to trick people to drink it and tell them it was great. And then that's terrible. I was like, yeah, it's horrible. I don't know why you drink it. Like,
No, it was a staple. It's a staple of the Outer Banks, guys. If you ever find your way out there, hit the brew through. It might be a little gimmicky, but it's an experience thing. You don't have to get out of your car. If you have a loaded car with your buddies and you're already gassed up, it's even more fun. You know, it's just a good time. And that kind of leads in the last 2 points on this. The last 2 points I want to get into on the wedding day. Though we had the best, like everybody from Boston, everybody from Maine, New York. I got family all over New England. A lot of them came down and I appreciate them more than they'll understand. They were like, what's the weather going to be like? And this was like a month out. It's just as bad as New England. You have no idea what you're going to get. But we had some of the best fucking weather, Nick, that we've had in the stretch. I was down there for 8 days. It was Thursday, right? Essentially. When we went to her sister's, so Jess's, it was Thursday night to the following Saturday, and there was one bad cold night. One.
That's dope.
So I got a little something on my tum-tum. Yeah, it was just the ceremony, not a cloud in the sky. Fucking beautiful. We were so blessed. I mean, lack of a better word, blessed. I mean, it was just everything couldn't have gone better. It was immaculate. And then to top it all off, Nick, as if I can't win the fucking lottery enough, there was a classic car hot rod show in the Outer Banks, a festival, and we got to see some of that at the weekend's end. So I don't know if you saw my snap. 1930 something Fords, 1940 something Chevys. And they were all elite street illegal. I mean, they got drag slicks on the back. They are legitimate drag strip cars, if not street race cars. And they were owned by old men. They're all antiques. These, this isn't kids with, you know, mom and daddy's money. This is mechanics building shit that will ruin you. And completely street illegal. The cops were allowing it. No one was being ignorant and stupid. And they just kept having meets from night to night. So we went out one night. The coolest of all of them, and I stand by it. There were some beautiful cars, beautiful Chevelles, Novas, fucking Mustang. I mean, everything. Everything was in full force. There was a Volkswagen bus with a supercharged motor on the inside right behind the seats. There's no way that guy isn't blowing out his eardrums.
I was about to say, that's loud as fuck.
So the guy had it on display. So you open the side panel doors on the thing, full exposure. You can see the drivetrain. Like, the floor was cut out with the motor sticking up through it with the blowers. Like, you know, in Fast and Furious, they have the motors. Yeah. It was literally 6 inches from the guy's head. There's no way he doesn't drive with, like, but like, imagine rolling up on that thing and you can hear it. You're like, what the fuck? And then you look over, it's in the guy's fucking van. If you look through the windshield, you can see it. It's craziest build I've ever seen, but just awesome. I love cars. I'm not a mechanical guy, but I love cars, and it was fucking sick. And just a culmination of everything. We had such a great time. Drinks were pretty great. People were great. Food was amazing. I don't know, man. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
No, it was cool. I got to see a couple, but this actually kind of, you know, rolls into my next point. I don't know if you have anything else to say on the wedding.
I don't think, did I miss anything? No, I mean, that's pretty much it. Did you have any questions? I know you said you wanted my perspective on anything. Did I miss anything you wanted me to cover or you thought Greenwood might have wanted?
No, I mean, I think you said everything I wanted to hear. I mean
it's really, a lot of it was the experience. So, like, you know, I will say the crazy part, I will come back. I'll finish with one thought. The wedding is crazy because you can never plan for yourself the things that you think will be like, not really an issue, but the things you think will captivate your attention just blows your mind. So like I tense up. It's like taking a test, like your SATs or graduate, like your final exam. You walk in there and the hype is real. And it's like we were sitting in the, so me and you were there, you were in the wedding party. You could speak to this. Like, you're sitting in that, the locker entrance.
Yeah.
And you're ready and they're counting it down and they're like, all right, 4:30, we're going. It's like, I mean, I literally stood at the door. I went, I can see some of my aunts and uncles facing me. And I hate big crowds, but I got a big family, got to do it. And I walk out there and then everyone's just staring at you. And it's like hard to, I had to be goofy. So I'm like walking down the lane, doing like a Euro step. I'm like getting goofy. We'll see that on the video. I'm sure it'll come out. But it was just weird. Like, you don't know how to handle it. And then I know there's no, this is so cliche, but I have to speak to it. The minute Cass walked down that aisle, dude, it was us. There's not a soul in that, I mean, the officiant's in your ear right here, so you know she's there. Nikki, one of our best friends, was fucking doing some of the ceremonial stuff. She did the lock event. I thought she did phenomenal for someone who also doesn't do massive public speaking. She was a massive part of it. Cass wanted her to be. She killed it. She absolutely killed it. But the only reason I knew she was there is because she was right here. But Cass blocked her party. Joey blocked my party. It was, we held hands. We were looking at each other like it was us. And I like completely forgot there was 100-something people fucking to my left. Like, it's tunnel vision. It's real. And it made it possible. Like, you think you can't do stuff. And then it's amazing what you can do when you have to do it, if that makes sense. Like, I said, I wasn't going to cry. I did. I always thought it'd be a shame to cry in front of a mass amount of people. I'd be real. It happened. It was fine. I'll get over it. I didn't want to do my own vows. I don't like being that person. I did them. I announced them in front of like my closest shit, in front of my friends and family. Like, you just don't, I don't know. It's weird. Like, you think you can't, but it's like so much easier than you really give credit for. Like, it's just such a, and then it's done. Nick, you walk away. You're like, and that's it. You're now husband and wife and you kiss. And I didn't drop her on the dip.
Oh, I know, dude. I'm happy I didn't bet on that. It was kind of, wait, there's a little stumble thing, right?
It was stumble. Her dress was huge. Her dress was, that was tough, but. Yeah. And then, you know, and then after that, you're the one thing is like, you're too busy to really like get in your own head. I know it sounds stupid, but you're being brought over there and there's photos here and hey, let's do that before this starts. And because we were doing photos before the wedding. So we're literally doing photos. And as we walk back, we're lining up. I mean, there wasn't time to talk to people or mingle or anything. So you're just, you're in, you're out. And then literally as soon as the wedding was done, we took more photos. We go up, we do our ceremonial shit. And then I immediately, right as dinner's getting pulled, I had a handful. I mean, I got to eat some pasta and some tacos. Dude, I immediately get pulled. And I'm like, I guess I ate enough. And we go and we take the sunset photos of the beach, disappeared for 30, 40 minutes, come back. We're going to have some wild sunset photos.
So you guys like left for a while.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and that we did everything we did to keep it discreet. So we went out the side doors. We got with the photographers. There was two of them, their husband and wife. They put us in the car. We went right up the road. They're like, do you mind riding with us? I'm like, absolutely not. If you're going to kidnap me, just do it already. We went right up the road. It was a place called Bird Street or whatever with a Y. We were making jokes about it. And it was a public beach entrance. And we go up and there's like probably like three or four older women up in like this like little perch. And they're like, do you need us to get out of here? And we're like, no, we're good. We're just in the like newly married. And they're like, oh, man. And we just walked the beach, public beach, and just took photos. And same thing. I don't know what it is, but in that moment, I feel like that's what real love is. Like, I don't know. Like, this was the closest thing to a Disney moment for me, but I'm out on the beach with Cass. People, not everywhere. I mean, it's off season, but just kind of taking photos, doing our thing, and no one bothered us. We didn't bother anybody. And we got back in and came back to the wedding, and that's when the dances started and shit just started going. So we were just on the go a lot. I seriously underestimated how much you're actually moving. Like, you are just here, there, gotta be there, gotta be here. You don't even have a chance to. It's not that I didn't appreciate it. I appreciate a lot of it, but I missed half the room. I wanted to walk through every table and say, thanks for coming, thanks for your time. And I didn't, and it is what it is. But yeah, it was just a neat experience. Had a lot of fun. It was a good time. And I appreciate more than anything, I know it sounds stupid, Megan's advice. Like, I would not have thought of that. I'm maybe a drink or maybe some, you know, other stuff to calm the nerves. But I didn't, and I powered through that. And I think if I can give a word of wisdom to anybody who listens to this or asks me about it, that would be it. Megan was spot on with that. Just fight through it. You can always drink afterwards. We started drinking at the house afterwards. You can always have your fun afterwards, but just appreciate the moment. It's quick. It does fleet by very quickly. And it's cool to have those, like that core memory. It was fun.
That's dope.
You got confidently calling somebody the wrong name. When did this happen?
Yeah. So I didn't do this. Fred Hoole did.
Shit. Who did I do it to?
It was actually kind of funny. It made me think of it. So when we stayed at Cass's sister's house, right?
Oh, you were there that day. We showed up.
Yeah, we went
back. Oh, my God. I was
going to
say, I can only think of one time that I did that.
We went to Cody's garage, guys, right? And he was there with his guy. I don't know.
Steve. Well, I won't forget it now. It was Steve and Ernie. I called him Ernie, and his name was Steve.
So basically, yeah, he has like, do they work for him? I don't know how that works. I don't want to.
All right. So for Cody's situation, he drives a Legend car. They travel a lot for it. He does not own that vehicle.
Oh, so they own
it? He works on it. He's like a co-owner, so to speak. So the guy that owns it with him is named Ernie, and I've met him numerous times. The guy who's like his lead mechanic and like super sister. I don't know if Steve owns part of the car. I don't fully understand that part. I don't know their relationship. But he's there almost as often as Ernie is. So it's Steve and Ernie. That's how Steve and Ernie.
So anyway, we show up, guys, and we walk in, and Fred's like, hey, Ernie, what's up? And Cody is talking to them, and he says this guy's Ernie. He says Ernie's name like, you say it at least five times constantly, Ernie, haha, Ernie, haha.
Because I'm one of those two, though. I have to keep saying it or I won't, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I have to lock it in. When I first, if I haven't seen you in a while, it's a weird thing that I do. I know, it's weird.
Which don't make sense. And you can kind of tell he's not very receptive. I could tell he's not very receptive when you're like saying it. And then finally, you know.
But he didn't correct me. That's important. No. He didn't say anything, which finally, I get. It makes sense.
Introduced, you know, I shake hands. I know Cody and shake hand. And like, oh, I'm Steve. And then.
And that. I was like, I was right there. It's not like I wasn't like unaware of this. He said that. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, Steve, I'm so sorry. I'm used to seeing Ernie, which is the truth. But yeah, there's no excuse for that.
No, that just kind of happens. I fucked it up.
But I also like it's weird because there's other times like even I still fuck up Greenwood's name. That's why I call him Greenwood. Is it Brandon or Brendan or Brando? I know so many Brandons and Brandon.
That's a little different. I guess that's semi different. You still know it.
It's to a point too where I just don't care. I'm so mad about it. I have a cousin Brandon. I have a friend Brendan. I don't. What is he? Brandon. I don't.
It's Brandon.
Brandon is weird.
Brandon.
I have a cousin Brand.
Brad. Just remember Brad Johnson. Greenwood works. But either way. But someone calling their name completely wrong, like not because it's like,
it wasn't even close. Brain. But I think it's funnier when you do it with confidence. We laughed it off. Like, it was what a dumbass. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, but I had a legit reason. I explained it to him. Like, I see Ernie all the races. But again, it's not like I see this guy every week, guys. This is like once every 3 months or two months.
Because I've done it before. Because I remember when I used to do a tennis ladder, there's some guy. And one time I accidentally called him as like the wrong name, like the whole night. And then like eventually. Let's like, you know, I was playing him right, and I did what you did. We were playing against each other. I called him the wrong name like three times, And then, you know,
go to Shiggy's hand.
A couple guys each night, then we switch courts. I hear him. And the other guy come over, like, hey, what's up, Bob? And I was calling him like Dan the whole time. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Bob. I felt like shit, but.
I sound stupid, but I don't know. It's like, to
me, they don't correct you. Isn't that weird? If someone called you a wrong name, you should correct them, right?
I'm weird about it. I subconsciously do the same thing because I've had people like do it with me a lot. Or like that don't know me that well, and they say something, and I'm like, but I think it's the recipient, if that makes sense, the recipient's job to make it what it's supposed to be. Every time somebody fucks up with me, I'm like, dude, you call me anything that even comes, like, just look at me when you say it, and I'll look, you know? And then they start laughing. I'm like, if you're looking at me, you could call me Jeff. I'm like, oh, what's up, dude? Like, I don't care. I'm like, we're making eye contact. It's over. And I make a joke out of it, you know what I'm saying? As the recipient of the situation. But these, you know, Steve's an older guy. He's an old dude. He's got to be like, he is up there. And it's like, they just don't have that kind of humor. So it's just like, you know? And I'm like, all right. Yeah, just like stale faced. Instead of being like, no, dumbass, it's Steve. Or no, that like, it would have been funny. You know what I mean? Let's blow it off with some humor. On comedic relief. That's my fucking stress thing. I make it funny, so it's okay. And nobody, if you don't do that, I don't know how to respond to that. But yeah, I was very confident, which is hilarious. But I'm also, I'm very bad at introductions. I try to be good with it when I know the names. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
but
there's
a lot of times I get so mad at Cass where, like I said, I don't really know her, some of her circle as well as I should. And it's like, are you like, you give them that look. You ever do that with somebody? They're like waiting for the introduction and you're like, I can't do it. Like, you're going to fucking, hello? And she, like that one girl, I can't even remember her name. I feel so bad. But the one girl at the wedding that I didn't know. And it was, Cass is like walking around the table and I'm like,
oh my God, wait, so there's someone you didn't know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it happens. Yeah. Okay. She's got a lot of like, you know, that's the other thing too. When you move, I feel like that is a weird play. Like there's a part of her life that I don't really know that. Like dark or whatever, but I just don't know a lot of people from that cycle or, you know, whatever. She used to work where went to high school with this person and I've never been near her high school. It's not like us where we all grew up together anyway, you know? So it's a different, it's a different vibe. But yeah, I'm trying to do better in introductions. And then like, you have those that were just like, poosh, and now I don't want to do introductions anymore. But yeah, no, I think it's what the question is, and we'll make it a poll this week. Is it worse or better to be confident when you mispronounce somebody or you misname somebody?
So, last thing I'll say, in regards to the poll, I think it's better to be confident because if you're like unconfident and you should just be a man and ask them their name straight up if you don't remember, right? It's weird if you're like, oh, Brad. Or something like that.
Yeah, I just feel like that makes it awkward for anybody.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel like there's this weird train of thought. Like, Steve should have known that I've only ever seen him with Ernie. Like, if I was going to fuck up someone's name, that would be who it would be with, if that makes sense. So,
hey, it's Steve, jackass. Yeah,
like he could have been, like, you know, 50% chance or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's whatever. It was weird, but we moved on. It was funny.
It just made me, I thought we
it was funny because I was just, you know what it is? It also was, like, this weird pride thing when you think you got it locked down. Like, yes. I was so excited. I was like, I don't see these guys a lot. That's fucking Ernie. And it wasn't Ernie. And that slapped me in the face. That was tough. But yeah, all around a great experience. I'm glad you came down early. I'm glad you helped us out. You helped us out a ton with the car stuff. It was fun. It was a good time. So.
I'm just, dude.
Go ahead.
I'm just sad I couldn't find golf clubs. That's all. Got the little tight clubs. So.
But yeah, the video. You got the video, right? I sent you that.
Oh, you did send me the video. Guys,
I don't know if we talked about this on the show already. If we didn't,
we
can talk
about it with your golf review, actually. I think we'll
jump down to the end. That's fine. We got a little bit of a long show for you guys tonight. Okay. Nick, we don't have any polls this week because we jumped two episodes real quick.
That's fine.
The full circles are going to have to get over that. Damn you. You'll be fine. We'll get you more polls next
week. Fun fact next week. Don't worry, guys.
Okay, we're going to skip that. You're going to
save your time.
We'll skip it. Fair enough.
Yeah.
We'll skip it. This week, no polls, no fun fact. First time, I think, in full circle history. On God.
Definitely. Full
which first is crazy because we're four seasons deep?
Yeah.
Three, four, well, how many years? Almost 5 years deep? Will it be five? No, what did we do, 2019 or 2020? 2020. It'll be 4 years in November, right?
Is it 2020?
Pretty sure.
I thought it was before the COVID. No?
I moved in with Cass in 2020 because I got the job.
Awesome. I don't know. All right, either way, we don't need to discuss that right now.
Whatever. 4 years. Whatever. Four years, but moving on. Two quick topics, guys. We'll get you the hell out of here, okay? One, my cousin Caitlin, shout out Caitlin, sent me this, and she asked me to put on the pod, and she was like, don't feel obligated, but she's not wrong. This is crazy, okay? Minor League Baseball, setting the tone. Don't know the two teams. I know one of them is San Diego. believe. Padres. Major league teams make a trade. We want this guy. We're going to give you three or four minor leaguers. Those minor leaguers, Nick, we're in the middle of a fucking game. Okay? Dude's on second base. Right? Coach comes out of the dugout, calls time, waves the guy off of second base. He's standing there, waves him off second base. And the guy's like, me? Like absolute clown show. Me? And the guy's like, yeah, like, get over here. Sends in a pinch runner, doesn't tell him what's going on. As he's coming to the sideline, the coach goes like this, actively traded in the middle of a game. Two players this happened to. So he comes off. Now, because I don't know what the fuck is wrong with baseball, and I don't know, I thought I'd bring it up. Maybe you can speak on this or you can research it while I'm talking about it. The guy comes back to his dugout. They make them leave the game instantaneously. Not like wait till the end of the game. Not like, hey, well, come sit in the dugout till the end or finish it. Even finish your at-bat. You're on second base. They pull him. He gets his shit from the dugout. Another player actively traded gets his shit. They walk up the first base sideline and walk out of the stadium. Not carted off. Nothing. Minor leagues. Actively traded in the middle of a game. You can look this up. Full circle Google it segment. Absolutely crazy. It was all over TikTok. And people are comparing it to real life, which isn't adequate. I don't think I've ever seen this in the majors. I've never seen this in the majors.
That would never happen in the majors. No.
I've seen same day trades, like right before a game. You'll see somebody go to a team runner.
Like that though, because yeah. Like
it'd be because it's the majors.
Yeah.
But people were comparing it. Like imagine being in the middle of a project at work and they're like, you've been traded to someone's like, get your shit. Like you pick, get up in the middle of your project, get your shit and get out. Good luck. You know what I mean? They didn't bus him anywhere. They didn't even get him on a gator to get him out of the stadium. They had to do like a walk of shame up the first baseline. Craziest shit I've ever seen. I want to shout out Caitlin for showing me that. Just wanted your overall thoughts. I don't know if you can find the video, Nick, if you want to take a moment to look at it.
I'm just curious. Why does he have to immediately leave?
I don't know the rules either. And I will say, Nick, I've kept an eye on baseball for years. I've never seen this. I've heard of same day trades. I've heard of players finding out in the MLB that they're being traded in the middle of a game, but they still finish it out. It's never impacted a game. They pulled this guy off of second base in the middle of an inning and made him leave the game. Like literally actively leave the game, not sit in the dugout, not walk through the dugout to the tunnel, because in the minors, they don't really have that, right? They're smaller fields. You literally just got on the side of the field and walked off the field with another guy who had also been traded. Crazy. Crazy.
I think it's, I'll tell you what. I think it just like, it shows you like, you know, in the minor leagues, like the pro like guy, like the pro teams, they don't give a hoot. However good the teams do, they just want it's just literally for the players to improve and hopefully go to the majors.
That all it is development. They see it as actual the way you would see a job, like you're actually, if you want to compare it to an office job, if you're in training and you're not up to speed and you're not going to make the cut, they fire you. It's like, all right, bye. It's like being fired in the middle of training. It's the same thing. They don't care if you're a number on a piece of paper. If you're not going to be the next star for their team and make them money, you're not good enough with your numbers to be effective, they could give a shit.
Yeah. But that's
still wildly
crazy. Man's on base. Hey, come off base. Me?
Like I said, okay. I think it's crazy that they have same day trade. Like I've seen same day trades. You see it like right before a game. I've seen that actively happen in multiple sports, even at the highest level. Same day trade. You see, whatever. You know, this guy's suiting up for this team, whatever. But yeah. Never in the middle of an active game have you seen me like, oh, no, step out.
Well, it's because the major league teams obviously weren't in an active game. And then like, they just, like we don't give a crap. Like, we don't care if he's in a game or not. Just get him out.
Yeah, but it's still it's weird. I feel like the MLB should Major League or Minor League Baseball should look into that. It makes no sense to me. Because if that guy, the problem is that the majors don't recognize it as serious, right? But those are those guys' lifestyle. That could be the last guy the game that guy ever plays. And you pull them out on second base. Well,
no, I don't think it's that extreme. The last game he ever played.
You don't know. What if he goes out, he gets traded, he goes out, gets injured, doesn't touch the field again.
All right.
That's his last experience. You don't know. I'm just saying it's not fair. I don't really agree with it. I don't know how we got there, and I don't know why. I don't know if this was like a one and done thing. I don't know enough about it, but it was definitely worth talking about. It's crazy. Look it up if you haven't seen it. It's not like crazy. Not like they're like stop the game. The guy just came out and he was like time, come off a second base. You're like what the fuck is he doing? And he yanked, and the guy on second was just as confused. He didn't know what the fuck was going on. So shout out Caitlin for showing me that. Wild. And then guys, I want to make one last thing to the wedding that Nick can speak to one of the two. I played golf twice in the Outer Banks. My dad played like 3 or 4 times. He's a spaz. It is pricey to play out there because it is a tourist destination, just like the Hamptons or anything else. So Duckwoods, where we actually had our wedding, Duckwoods Country Club in the Outer Banks, we got a free round of golf. So we did play that on Saturday before we went out. Hey, and it was a very challenging course.
Who did the best on that course, by the way, out of the whole wedding?
Was it you or Dad? You beat Dad, right?
Yeah, I beat your dad.
Yeah, but I think you did. If you beat Dad, I think you probably had the best of everybody.
No, I did. Yeah. No, I did. That's why I asked.
Overly challenging course. A lot of water features, very narrow. As for people like me, like novice who had very nasty slice and stuff, it's hard to hit narrow fairways and stuff. It was a very featured course. Like a lot of stuff going on, a lot of bunkers, a lot of water. I had fun. I like you said, Nick. You said it on the last show. I agree 1,000,000%. Made me put this on here. Great course, very visibly cool. The water, the greenery, the clubhouse, beautiful. Not worth the 120 that they or the 100. No. It was 110, I think, with rentals is what it was. I
talked about my crappy rental clubs, right? Last show, I have to zoom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they gave you the wrong one. And it is what it is, right? We got it included.
I first got 93.
We paid for the rental, but it was whatever. Okay. Yeah. And I will say we had a good time. It was fun. People weren't assholes. Like for that kind of money, you'd think like a group of 4 or 8 trying to go out. We had a group of 9 go out, and we were staying relatively close. At first, we tried playing together. No, we let people play through. No one was like pretentious, and I actually really enjoyed that. I went back out again to a place called The Point, which we passed coming in. I don't know if you remember.
I remember passing it.
Pointing it out. Yeah, I said, there's another one right there. The Point. I went with my dad, Josh, and Joey, and Cody. Cody ended up going, which I didn't know he played. He actually played very well. Much better course. $85 to play. I ended up buying they had golf shoes, by the way. I got myself a nice pair of golf shoes. First time I've ever had golf shoes. $85 was not bad at all. We go out, nasty dog leg right, but really open fairways. So like novice players, the marshal was super chill. The grass was immaculate. I mean, it was amazing. And Joey and Dad actually, like I said, went back and played there two more times. Damn. So I have to say, if I had to rate on a 10 scale, okay, and those are the only two courses I've ever played out there. The Point for me, 10 out of 10, hands down. I mean, one of the better courses I've ever played. We had a great weather that day. I actually shot really well. I had a couple pars. Nice. I had a couple birdie attempts, but fucked up. I was actually putting really well, but my mid game was I did better. I don't know, but I know it sounds stupid, Nick. I don't know if it was the shoes or not, but I wasn't like slipping out of my shoes. Like I always played in running shoes. So it made a big difference. And I still nasty slice some. I was actually even slicing my wedges, but I was making a lot better contact than I was when we played. Where it was just like I was losing balls left and right, couldn't tell where it was going. I had a little bit more play on this. I thought I played well. I think me and Cody both finished with 97s. So, I mean, whatever. It's under 100. That's pretty good for me. But yeah, 10 out of 10. Marshall was amazing. The prices were decent. You didn't lose your ball. The course was very well kept. The greens were immaculate. Really tough greens too, though. Like very, very fast paced, very well cut. But like you'd read it and you're like, oh, it's going left, and it didn't break, or it actually go right. It was really, that was like my dad said, it was really challenging the greens there. But I enjoyed it. Duckwoods, I liked. If you want like the Outer Banks vibe, the marsh and the water and the birds and all, that is definitely your energy. I would say for actual play though, I if I'm being honest, I put it at like a 6 or 7 out of 10. What would you put it at? A little lower?
Not probably like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I'd put it honestly even with like top. I'd put Topstone maybe ahead of that though. Like there are other courses I played. Hell's Point in Virginia, one of my all-time favorites. That would be an 8 or 9 for me. I'd put the Point right there with some of my favorite golf courses.
Hell's Point is where I almost choked and died.
I still love that fucking course though, man. I do.
Ryan Whiting, the savior.
The savior. All right, guys, I've been chatting your ear off enough with the wedding episode. Still going to call it Casper because screw you, Brad Johnson.
I just love, dude.
He cracks me up too, man. He's just so extra. Like I don't know why he's so uptight all the time. Like just breathe, bro. You're cool. People like you. They think you're attractive. All the ladies were all over his ass.
Dude,
at the houses, they were talking about, oh my god, the blue eyes, and he's good looking, dude. I'm even in group chats where they still talk about that bitch ass, and he's over here, and he's like, a scared little baby boy. Why he could be swimming in the ladies and he won't do it. Grow up, bro. This is for you, Greenwood. Grow up. But yeah, that's it. Nick, what's your media of the week? You beef not loving supreme. Like us, beef supreme.
Kendrick Lamar. Fred, you're listening to that immediately after this. You're listening to
Not Like Us. I will. I will text you after. I mean, it's late. We're doing this hella late.
It's so like 4 minutes long, dude. You're going to be like.
I'll peep the song and I'm going to bed. My song of the week, I haven't done one in a while, but I should. Let me check my Spotify real quick.
Euphoria by Kendrick Lamar.
Nah, fuck that noise. This one, Nick, vibes. Vibes 1, 2 and Mer, M-E-R by Baby Mala. We were at the beach, hella beach vibes. For me
or no?
Hella beach vibes. I believe I did. I played it at the song and on the beach numerous times. So I actually played it for my, so my brother on the way to the wedding, my brother let me drive his girlfriend's Lexus. And he was like, Joey usually lets me play a tune or two. And I was like, bro, you're going to love this song. And usually he's like, yeah, it was good or whatever. He sent me a snap like a week later, him and bumping it in his Charlotte apartment, like going ham. It's just got very Caribbean like vibes. So that's my song. 1, 2, Myrrh by Baby Mala. You got Not Like Us. I'm going to check it by Kendrick. Nick says Kendrick won the fight. That's it.
Easy money. To it. Oh my God. Crazy. We're going to get into it.
It's and done. Again, done. I appreciate everybody listening to this. This is more for me in the future, but the wedding was immaculate and I had to talk about it. If you have any more questions for me, hit me up. And Nick, if you think you have anything, put it for next episode. But that's season 4. That's episode 37, guys. Can't thank you guys enough. Oh, you did Legendary Wedding Congo? Are we going with that? What do you want to do?
You wrote that.
You give me the title. Did I write that? I didn't put that in there. That's
Casper.
Funny. You like Casper?
Casper and the wedding and the legendary. Casper and the legendary.
How about wedding. Casper at the wedding?
Casper at the wedding. All right, yeah.
We'll leave it alone. Yeah, oh, that's. I like that. It's a diss track. What's up? All right. Y'all have a good night. We'll talk to y'all later. Appreciate you guys. 2 episodes, 1 week. We love you. We'll be back.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We haven't been doing the outro. That's it. It's late. We out.
See you next week.
We out. Bye. He's out.